From the land of the free and the home of the Chiefs, with two-man coverage of the red and gold, this is the Locked On Chiefs podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Welcome back to the show. We've got a great one for you. So make sure you're subscribed. Tell all your pals to check out the show. And I know you guys have been leaving reviews and everything. We appreciate that. We're going to get to that sometime next week. I'm actually going to be out on vacation. Chris will have the reins, and we will be having a couple of guests for you. And we put together a super show talking about specifically outside pass rushers in this draft with our guest today, John Ledyard from NDC Scouting, as well as FanRag Sports, as well as the host of the Locked On Draft Show. So check all that out. We're going to get started right now because there's no time to waste. It's been a while, but I want you guys to open your ears and listen to what John has to say. John Ledyard from NDT Scouting, from the Locked On Draft podcast. You've heard him everywhere. John, thanks for joining us.
Hey, no problem, guys. Thanks for having me.
Man, I'm excited because even as late as Sunday night, I know you were tweeting about a couple of guys that I've already kind of looked at. And I was going to run down a list here and see what your impressions are and what you can tell me, because I know you've done a ton of work on all these guys already. You mind if we just jump in?
Yeah, let's go for it.
Cool. First of all, a guy that I think really has one big concern, that at least for me anyway, is Landry out of Boston College. First off, he looks like a 3-4 OLB to me. Does he look like that to you?
Yeah, I think that Landry's got the potential to play with his hand down or from a 2-point stance if he needs. So I don't think he's resigned either. But you know, the big differences to me between the two are, can you drop in coverage and play in space a little bit better? That's what teams will ask of. And for our two teams, you know, the Steelers, my team, and your team, the Chiefs, that's really important because they like to do that a lot with their edges. So that will be determining factors for different teams to different degrees. But that's really the big difference to me, and maybe whether a guy's more comfortable out of a 2 or 3-point stance. But in terms of assignments, you know, it's not necessarily – you know, super different between the two spots. So I think that Landry can do a little bit of both. It would be a different role for him because he doesn't drop into coverage a ton, but I think he has the ability.
The thing that I know a lot of people have spoken about, especially in 2016, is he showed some of that bend, particularly in the ankle flexion, right? But isn't that the problem, is that he got hurt in 2017, specifically around the ankle, and it's kind of a question mark at this point?
Yeah, I think that was a big thing for Landry, whereas he wasn't fully healthy, so his cornering wasn't quite up to par. But the other thing is that the bill's kind of out on him. Like, everybody knows Landry likes to speed rush and corner and bend. And I just think for him to really be effective at the NFL level, he's going to have to find a way to get back inside. Like, he just never uses speed to counter. It's just always speed rush, and you either beat the guy off the ball or you get pushed up the arc. So there's some similarities to Vic Beasley in that way coming out, but I do think Landry's a little bit better length. He does show some long arm moves, which will help him get back underneath eventually and kind of win inside. And then once you've set up that two-way go and tackles have to be wary of the fact that you can get back inside of them, they can't lean quite as hard on the edge. So then you make things a lot easier for yourself. But the tools to be able to do that as a pass rusher, those are all there for Landry. So as long as he shows out at the combine, I feel pretty confident in him being the second best edge defender in this class.
And obviously behind Chubb, right?
Yes, yeah, correct. Bradley Chubb, top guy for me, not really even close. I think he is terrific at what he does. And he's one of the safest players in the draft, probably.
Well, how high do you think he goes?
I think there's no way he gets out of the top six with the importance of his position. You know, I really think Indy's got to be thinking long and hard. The only question is if they get like a King's Ransom to move down, then it might be teams clamoring for quarterbacks in the top four spots. That trades kind of always mess things up. But in terms of non-quarterbacks, right, he's got to be one of the first three non-quarterbacks off the board.
What about Landry? How high do you think he goes?
He probably, if I had to guess, just from his positional value and the fact that I think he'll do well at the combine, I would think that the Bears pick 8th, I think. I would think he could go anywhere from 8 to, I mean, even the Bucks 7, you know, to somewhere 20 to Detroit. You know, teams are going to feel a little bit differently about how physically he is at times. In the senior year tape, you know, how much do they weigh it? There were definitely times where, again, he's banged up. We talked about this with Myles Garrett a year ago too. You know, guys weren't 100%. It's hard for them to do everything at a high level. And So, I mean, I thought there were times where Landry wasn't as aggressive as he could have been this past year, but hard for me to judge a guy playing when he's injured. You know, everybody's a little bit different, and you know, I thought he was plenty aggressive in 2016. So some teams may weigh that a little bit differently, but I think 7 to 20, he's got to be off the board somewhere in that range.
He's one of the guys that I thought if the Chiefs were going to have a target, if they really felt they had to have a pass rusher, maybe he's somebody they would have to go up for. And I thought maybe – thought he might last to the 25-ish or something like that looking for a trade partner, but maybe not. But as I'm looking at my notes, the one question for me – and Chiefs fans will love this, I think, but you tell me what you think. I had his comp as does he remind me of D Ford a little bit? Like you said, because of the lack of the inside and the speed thing. He's a little smaller than advertised a lot, right?
Yeah, I think that I see it with the speed. I think Landry bends better than Ford did. And I like Ford coming out, though. I mean, Ford was super explosive off the snap. I mean, it still is when he's healthy. You know, I think Landry is a little more hit or miss, but I think he has that explosiveness. Both guys were kind of inconsistent. When they hit it and when they got it right off the ball, you know, they're pretty dangerous in terms of the speed that they could bring. So I like that in both. I don't think that's a bad comp at all. I think that there's some similarities there for sure. Both guys, you won more on pure athleticism than a lot of refinement and great vision. And, you know, the kind of the opposite of Chubb. You know, Chubb doesn't have Landry's elite takeoff speed and elite bend, but pretty much everything else is I mean, he's still good in those areas. Pretty much everything else is mint. I mean, he can beat you inside. He can beat you outside. He can go through you. You know, there's just a lot to worry about if you're a tackle. And he mixes it up and changes it based on his vision as a pass rusher and what he sees. So, yeah, I think he's a heck of a player. And I think Landry is a little bit boom or bust, which Ford, I think you could have said that about too. But I do feel pretty confident in just – he's one of those guys who's just going to bet on his athletic abilities. And he had crazy production. I know, you know, some of that – seeing you look at some of that with some players and you're like, eh, it doesn't mean it always translates. Well, look at the tape and some of the way Landry got some of his sacks last year. And even this year, even though he didn't have that many, you know, he had some crazy sacks this year when he was healthy. And I just think that kind of ability, you don't see guys get sacks that way in college football and then bust in the NFL very often. So as long as he's healthy and as long as he's, you know, consistently dedicated and aggressive and wants to polish his game, I think he's a pretty sure thing.
Now, if he has any problems in this medical, like, you know, if he might have to miss time as a rookie or whatever because of that ankle, he's still worth a second round pick, isn't he?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think that ankle is going to be fully healed. I've heard he's supposed to be good to go for the combine, and I don't think there's any long – I'm not aware of any long-term concerns with Landry. So I would imagine he'll come off the board in the first round.
So, Chiefs fans.
I think Ryan just wishfully thinking.
Not necessarily me. I've had people ask me about him, and I've said unless there's something that's going to delay his on-field presence, I don't see how he gets out of the first round. So
I'd be surprised. Not in this edge class.
One guy that I don't think is going to go in the first round any longer, I probably would have had him as a top 10 guy at the beginning of the season from what I knew at the time. But, man, Arden Key's dropping like a rock, isn't he?
Yeah, and it's a little bit of everything, too. You know, some people – I mean, I've heard the off-field stuff is untouchable, you know, in terms of – I mean, some people have compared it to Randy Gregory-esque, you know, levels of concern. So, I mean, that's just hard to take a risk on. I mean, you just see so many players that can't get there and – Gregory scared some people, I'm sure. And then there's the body type, you know, there hasn't been a lot of success with those long, lanky types. There's weight moves all over the place. He added a bunch of weight coming into the season, and he was terrible to start the year. Not even sure if he can play at a higher weight. There's times where he looks great and really violent and physical. There's other times where he just gets his tail kicked on reps. So it's just everything's so inconsistent with Arden Key. The tape is inconsistent. Like I said, the off the field is concerning. The body type and the prototypes that he kind of matches up with physically are a little bit concerning. It's just the volatility. You know, he left the program and came back. And does he love football? Is it going to be the big question? And, you know, how the scouts and coaches feel about that. And so there's just so many question marks. And he's just kind of one of those scary, you know, prospects to touch, I think. And there is some promise here and there. You know, he flashes good hand usage. He flashes the ability to rip under and dip that shoulder, which is pretty good for a long, lanky guy. I think he's a little bendier than some of the other lanky types that have flamed out in the NFL. But I don't know, man. I mean, they're still – it's just so inconsistent, and I think that's the biggest thing with Key. He's just not a very consistent player right now, and you would have really wanted to see that from him at this point, and this year was probably the biggest embodiment of that inconsistency. So he's scary. The combine's huge for him, though. I mean, I don't know that the combine's bigger for any single player than Arden Key in any position, because he has his weight. His weigh-ins are going to be huge because of his weight. That's going to be so important for him. He has to test like an elite athlete to convince teams in the upside in his game and what's worth developing there. And he has to kill the interviews, man. I mean, and you know, in all the areas, you know, the medicals and all that kind of stuff, because he's had some issues there too. So just every aspect of the combine is so important for Arden Key. It's been a while since we've seen a prospect to that level with all aspects of the combine being that concerning.
Well, I know how I feel about it. The one note that I made here is I thought his pursuit effort lacked pretty much on every piece of film I saw. So for me, I had already knocked him down. But let me ask you this. If you're GM, is he off your board completely?
I'm not ready to go there just yet. Let's wait and see what comes out of the combine, because I think that I want to give him some space to be able to, you know, if we start hearing good reports and, you know, everything checks out. But I mean, I would say that I'd be in the range that people talk about him, top 50, I would be pretty nervous to select him in that range.
Okay. I think we're together on that one. I don't know if we're together on this guy. My number three question mark, I think he can play standing up. He's got so much hype, though. I feel terrible for him because I don't think he's going to live up to it, at least in the first couple years in the league. But I've gotten a lot of flack from Chiefs fans because I keep telling them I don't think Marcus Davenport is a first-round pick in my eyes. I think he should be somewhere in the middle of day two. But where do you have him?
Yeah, he's in day two range for me, probably mid to late day two, to be honest. I mean, I don't know. We do this every year. It's just kind of funny to me. You know, there's always a small school darling, especially one of the key positions, I think, that we push up the board and that we just, like, they usually have a great frame. They've got a couple crazy plays against lower level competition. And for Davenport, he ran over some tackle that's going to be like a dentist or something. And he ran through a running back, I think. And people are like, oh my gosh, he's so physical. I'm like, that's a running back. You know, there's just those plays and people just attach themselves to him. And I really don't think Davenport is a mint athlete. I think he's a good athlete. I don't think he's a great athlete, this elite athlete. You know, he is a very big guy. There's no question there. I think that he can even tone up and develop his frame more. But there's just not a pass rush plan most of the time. You know, he doesn't kind of fluidly attack guys. He used an outside swim as one of his big moves. That just – I mean, I chart edge sacks for every defender in the NFL the last 2 years. And I don't know that I've seen more than one. Or I think Cam Jordan's the only guy I've seen pull it off. I mean, it's just – there's a lot of stuff that he got away with because there were such bad athletes he was playing against that he's just not going to get away with at the next level. And so, I mean, even Senior Bowl practices, when he didn't know the snap count and those drills, when they're trying to get those guys jump off the ball and they were doing 1v1s. I mean, 1v1s are slanted to defensive players. I don't think he won a rep the entire week. I mean, he was getting stoned by everyone. And then in the game, he played well. But in the game, you know the snap counts. You know, they're using all simple type of stuff there. There's no max protects because there's no blitzes. Everybody's getting out. So, I mean, you don't got any to worry about a chip or anything like that. And, you know, it just kind of makes life really – and plus, he was playing you know, horrendous tackles at that point in the game. So, I mean, I just think you're going to have a big adjustment for Marcus Davenport. And the other thing that I think that he's got a really laid-back, carefree personality, but he even said something at the beginning of the Senior Bowl that kind of caught my attention. He said, coaches – I said, when did the NFL start being like an option for you? Like when you knew it was going to – like this was something that could happen for you. And he said – it was right before this past year, senior year. And he said the coaches told him if he ramped up the intensity and his work ethic, then, you know, that could be something that was on the horizon for him. And, you know, I mean, I think teams are going to see that different ways. You know, his personality is very laid back and they're going to want to know, can he get intense? Can he bring it every snap? Can he play physical? Because there were a lot of reps. You just didn't notice him at Texas San Antonio, you know. And if you're that guy, if you're a top 10 guy playing against that level, I mean, you should be dominating the competition on a regular basis. And I just didn't get that feeling with Davenport. So that's going to be another important part of his evaluation is how he interviews your teams. But I don't think he's going to go top 10. I think he'll go in the first round the way that it sounds right now, as long as he tests. I don't know if he'll test the way people are talking about right now, but I think he might test well enough to keep teams intrigued. And it's not a good edge class either. So, you know, maybe somebody bites in that range. But I think that they're taking a big risk with a guy who's a real project.
Now, when
all right, so
go ahead.
I just want to ask real quick. So how many edge guys do you have in your top three rounds right now, John?
Oh, my top three rounds. That's a good question. I know I have two, just Chubb and Landry in the first round. I would guess, and these aren't full evaluations, aren't done yet, but let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. I would guess probably maybe 9 in my top 100. Somewhere between 9 and 11 probably when it's all said and done would be my guess. And most of those guys are mid to late day two. I don't think it's a good edge, very good edge class at all. But most of those guys are in the middle to later half of day two.
Yeah, and that's kind of what I was getting from listening to you talk is that this is not going to be a good edge class to go and get a pass rusher.
Yeah, there's guys with potential. I mean, there definitely is, but there's just like big question marks with everybody and not a lot. Like Kamoko Ture, I really liked what I saw from him in Mobile. I thought he was fantastic. I think he's a great athlete. I think he's going to test well. You know, those are things are huge because I think that he showed better hand usage at the top of the arc as a pass rusher than I thought he would when I watched his tape. I thought he was going to be like really raw as a pass rusher, but he had real like ready to go ability. And then he was great in the game and he was great in the week of practices. And so I am really excited about him. And if he kills the combine, I'll probably be yelling his name from the rooftops. But what concerns me is the shoulder injuries, the lack of production. He wasn't on the field a ton for Rutgers. There were some rumors at the time that he was in the doghouse. There's some clear awareness stuff on tape, like where he's just not really aware of things developing. And, you know, as a run defender, there was a lot of hit or miss. You know, to me, I value pass rush highly. So I can live with the other stuff a little bit if he. I feel like he's going to develop and give me 100%. And I thought on tape it looked like he was. He looked like a high effort guy. Just those were kind of the things that I wondered about with Ture. So still a ton of question marks, even with, to me, you know, a guy that could potentially be a top five type edge rusher in this class. And the question marks are huge. I mean, he could be totally boom or bust with some of those question marks. So that's the kind of risk I think you're stepping into, even with the guys that are better athletes.
Well, right now I have him pretty low on the list. Like, I don't even know that I would suggest taking him until day three, but let me ask you about the two notes that I made. And those were, I didn't see any power or bull rush from him, and I didn't see him set the edge at all in either of the two games that I saw him in. Am I wrong?
No, I think that both those are probably fair criticisms. The first one I don't care about as much, I think, because he's willing to engage and then work off of to an edge, you know, either inside or outside, usually outside. When you have the ability to tilt the edge like Ture, I like when pass rushers use that to their advantage and play to their strengths. You know, he isn't really going to be a power guy, but I do think he has kind of, he's shown enough bend in both his hips and in his ankles to be able to tilt the edge that I would feel okay about the fact that he doesn't prefer to go with power moves because it's probably just not his game. And not, you know, if we're talking about a day one guy, then I'd be, you know, like I said, can he beat you inside, outside, and go through you? But I don't think we're talking about that with Ture. And if I had to pick one of those three areas to beat an offensive tackle, I would say outside every time. And I think that he's shown he can definitely do that. But as an edge setter, yeah, I mean, there was just way too many inconsistencies. There were a couple times where he did it well, but then there was a ton of times where he got compromised or stepped down inside or just lost a physical battle and got reached on the edge, lost contained. So that's kind of the issue with Ture is, will he ever be able to be an every down player enough to give you what he's good at? And some teams will care about that and really want him to be an every down guy. Some teams will be like, you know what? He tilts the edge very similarly in some ways to Yannick Ngakoue, who was a terrible run defender when he started in the NFL and still is only okay probably in that role. So we're seeing teams be more willing to kind of live with that in that area of the game. And as long as Ture can develop, and that's the thing, Yannick, he cared about getting better. And he started to get better this past season. He was better in the run game, at least from what I saw. And as long as Ture can care about that, Rutgers is kind of notorious for misusing guys and not really getting the most out of their players. And I think the NFL could be a great landing spot for Ture. The shoulder injuries that he's had over the past couple of years and the reports that the medicals aren't going to be great there for him are definitely somewhat concerning because we've seen Noah Spence and Shaq Lawson, just notable edge rushers recently, struggle with shoulder injuries and, you know, really affect their ability to be on the field.
Well, right now for you, if you had to put the right spot to put him value-wise, where do you think he should go?
With Ture, you know, it's really hard to say without seeing the full slate of information because it is going to be so dependent on those things. But right now, you know, just based on what I know, I'd love to see him come off the board day two. I would love to nab him and take the chance. You know, that's a position that you got to take a little risk on sometimes. And I think that I've seen enough from him that shows it's worth it. Now, I don't know him personally. I don't know the medicals. You know, there's a lot that I don't know here. So that's just bit working off of what I've seen.
No, that's today's thought. And folks, don't worry. We'll beg John to come back after the combine and tell us what's going on at that point. But this is just today's arguments, right?
Just today's.
What you're really saying, though, is that every team needs pass rush. Mm-hmm. And that's one big thing that Kansas City could use, and other teams could as well. But I guess where I'm going with that is this guy seems like a good fit for a team that already has maybe a starter and a secondary pass rush guy that could come in as, you know, the third guy that can get pressure as well.
He'd make a lot of sense for Kansas City, in my opinion. Stylistically, it's a good fit for him because he can develop a little bit before he has to step onto the field, and he'll probably be available in the range that they hold a couple picks in. So he's, you know, 54, 78, 86. He could be on the board at all those spots. So it definitely is a fit that makes some sense to me.
Okay. I've been trying to wait on this one, but the guy that makes the most sense to me right now, and he has impressed me since I started comparing – particularly the length that I like about him. He's not quite as thin as I thought he was earlier in the season. And I think you started taking a look at him on Sunday night, and that's Lorenzo Carter out of Georgia. I know Chris is shocked for me to talk about a Georgia player since they play pretty much the same scheme the Chiefs do. But
Georgia or KU, one of the
well,
two.
We'll talk about that in a minute, buddy. But, I mean, here's the thing. Is like he shows more power to me than I expected him to for such a long, lanky guy. I saw him that he can set the edge some in the pass game, in the run game. Maybe not his best aspect, but certainly doable. And he seems to have a knack for making plays.
He's so interesting. And, you know, I mean, just grading him out in the areas that I care about, you know, edge rushers being good at, he doesn't grade out very well because, you know, Georgia didn't let him get after the passer a whole lot. A lot of run reads first, and he was dropping into coverage a good bit, and I didn't really think he was that great there. And, you know, it's just kind of like trying to figure out what Carter does really well right now, and it's hard to come up with anything, in my opinion. But then you look at his athletic profile, and, I mean, coming out, he was 6'5", 234 coming to college, and, you know, he ran a 4.6 flat in the high school trainings, and then he jumped 40 inches. I mean, he's probably 10 pounds bigger than that now, so not a whole lot of difference. I think he might kill the combine and might have way more upside. You know, we might be and probably maybe cleaner medicals, cleaner other stuff than Teray does. So Carter's he definitely is intriguing, probably one of the edges I'm most excited to see do the combine. Because right now he's grading out as like an early day three type of guy for me, just because, I mean, the production isn't there. Like I said, he didn't really have a plan of attack as a pass rusher. There were too many times where I saw him lose the edge. And, I mean, the fullback in the Auburn game just worked him most of that game. I mean, he had such a hard time getting off blocks, even when it wasn't to his gap, just to get off and you get clean and go help out on the tackle. But Carter plays hard. He is physical. His frame is terrific. His athletic profile is terrific. And those things wouldn't matter to me, except that I think he really does work hard on the field. You know, he is a physical football player. I think he has the desire to get better. I know he worked with Chuck Smith in the offseason. I think that Georgia didn't get the most out of him, and I think the NFL will get more out of him. To what extent is the question? Because if he tests like a really elite athlete all the way around, which those numbers indicate that he's off to a good start. Now, the three cone's important for edges. The short shuttle's important to a degree. The 10-yard split will be important. But he didn't get a lot of just take off, look at the ball, take off opportunities as a pass rusher. And you really need more opportunities to be able to develop some of those things and consistently get off the ball quickly. And so, you know, I just think Carter could have a better future in the NFL, and he could be one of those guys that ends up outplaying his draft stock as a result.
Well, let's hope that that happens, because if you're right, then he should be available for Kansas City pretty much at any pick that they like.
I think he will be, and I think, again, he's a pretty decent fit.
Okay, so here's the guy that I think has caused, at least in the circle of people that I've been talking to, probably the most controversy, because he's short. And honestly, from what I'm hearing about Landry, he's not that much shorter than Landry, but I massacre his first name, so I'm not even going to use it. But Okoronkwo, man.
Obonia. He told me how to say it in Mobile. Obonia.
Obonia?
That's how you say it.
Man, I'm glad you're
here. Obonia.
I've been calling him Double I. That's where I'm going. So it's what it is.
There you go.
But, man, he seems like he's got a good first step. He's not uber explosive. He's got that arm length that I think works for him, but he's really got kind of two moves, and that's about it, right?
Yeah, he wasn't used very dissimilarly from Carter, just given a couple little bit more pass rush opportunities because Oklahoma literally had zero other pass rushers. Georgia felt like they had enough options that they let Carter do other things, but Okoronkwo was so far and away the best player in Oklahoma's defense, he had to do a lot of pretty much everything. So you see him carry wheel routes down the field, and you see him rush the passer, you know, and tee off, and sometimes even from a four-point stance. And so I like Okoronkwo. I was really high on him in season, and then I've watched more of him and softened some since then. He is just kind of really hit or miss as a pass rusher. You know, he can hit he'll hit an inside move that just looks so clean and sweet, and then all of a sudden, I mean, he'll get stymied, just completely stoned, you know, on the majority of his reps then. But he'll have three or four reps a game that just make you, like, go, whoa. But then it's just the rest of it's just complete. I mean, he doesn't do anything when guys get their hands on him. And he has the length. So his height, you know, to me, it's an advantage, honestly, because he's lower to the ground. And then his arms are like 34 inches, I think, at the Senior Bowl. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, he has tons of length. And so that the height really isn't an issue to me at all. He doesn't do anything as a power rusher for sure. And he kind of knows that. I mean, but he has good inside-outside game. So I did see him bend the edge and kind of get outside a little bit more in Mobile than I saw on tape. I asked him if his favorite move was that inside counter, you know, set it up with speed and come back inside. And he said, no, his favorite move is to get around the edge and dip that shoulder and rip underneath. But you just don't see that a ton on tape, to be honest, because, you know, there are so many guys kind of setting against his speed, he said, that he has to get back inside. So I think there's a mix of that. I think he's somewhat right that guys are setting because he is quick. But I think also that he needs to take that edge and work those angles a little bit more and not be so reliant on going inside all the same time. So I think he thinks it's shut down on the edge more than it actually is a lot of the time. And I think if he had that, he has that bend, or, you know, I think he may have it, but he doesn't know how to use it yet. So he's definitely still figuring things out. Again, his combine will be huge. Combine's so big for edge defenders, in my opinion. And, you know, as the way it plays out in the NFL, guys who test really, really well at the combine are much more likely to be good NFL players than guys who don't. So I think it's going to be huge for Okoronkwo. Three cone will be huge for him. I still like him a good bit, but I think he's definitely in the day two range, you know, middle day two type of range, which, again, puts him on the board for the Chiefs, and he can do a lot of things, including drop into coverage that the Chiefs like.
Yeah, and I thought it was a pretty good fit because of that, especially if, you know, if you're talking about the 86th overall, you're not taking that much of a chance. The one thing for me that I wrote as probably my number one note is he's got to learn to use his hands better. Did I miss anything, or do you see that as well?
No, I definitely see that. I think for him, he does show that long arm stab kind of to keep guys off his frame a little bit, which is good, but you've kind of got to run that up the arc a little bit better and run that tighter to the tackle. And I saw him use the long arm, but then he gets to the top of the arc and he just had nowhere to go then. So he ran out of space a little bit. And that's the thing. His arms are long enough that, you know, he should be able to use more like club rips and things like that at the top of the arc. So hand usage was definitely an area where I docked him a little bit and said I thought he had to get a lot better in the NFL in terms of making cleaner angles for himself. And that, again, goes back. I don't think he really sells out to attack the edge very often. You know, I almost wish he was a little bit more like Harold Landry. Landry's just relentless to press the edge. You know, he doesn't really have any type of desire to come back inside or go through you as a pass rusher. Okoronkwo is always kind of peeking, okay, if the edge looks blurry at all, I'm getting back inside. I wish he'd fight a little bit harder for the edge at times, because I think when he does, there are some good things that he can do. But I think he's just really still figuring all that out. He got to get after the quarterback more this year than the year before. But I think he's still kind of a work in progress there. And I'm curious to see, the combine will give us a good indication of what kind of ceiling he has.
Well, I think so as well. I'm interested to see how long he lasts. I feel like he's going to test well, but, you know, we'll see how he comes out on the matrix. Okay, before we let you go, four more names. We covered Trey, so we'll scratch him off the list. But four names that I'm struggling to find a good fit, particularly for Kansas City's need for a 3-4 outside guy. Just give me your impressions. You don't need to take me through the whole thing. Just tell me what you think in terms of being a stand-up outside linebacker and where you think they might go. And the first is Armstrong out of Kansas, towards Armstrong.
Yeah, he looked – you know, I just watched his 2016 tape. I haven't actually gotten his 2017 yet. He's kind of lost some luster. I felt like a lot of people loved him. And then after this year, kind of you don't hear as much about him. But I still do want to really get to his tape before the combine. Interesting player because he is light and he is kind of lanky, but he does have some bend that he's flashed at times. I definitely think he's a fit for Kansas City, though. I mean, just in terms of stylistically. Now, he may need some development, but I think he makes sense for that role.
Yeah, he's a guy who plays forward best, right?
What's that?
He plays forward best, right? We're not looking for that him to try to learn to drop, right?
Yeah, I think that he does. I think that he could potentially play in space, though, with a little bit more development. But I do think that, yeah, right now that is where he's at his best. But there's the skill sets there to be able to learn the other stuff. You know, for most outside linebackers, the pass drops and things like that, the teams are going to ask him to do are relatively simple. Now, some teams do vary a little bit here and there, but I think that he can learn a lot of that stuff. And again, the combine's huge. If, you know, and the drills are going to be huge. Is he going to be able to do that stuff at a high level? I think that's going to be really important.
You look at day three, though, I'm guessing?
If I had to guess right now, I would say day three, yeah. But again, I haven't heard, anything about him since the beginning. I mean, it really – He got a lot of buzz. I think Matt Miller loved him and stuff, and he got some buzz heading into last year. And now, you know, it just kind of seems like things have dried up a little bit with him. But you never know. If he tests like an ultra athlete, those guys can sneak in for sure.
Combine will put you back up on the board. Mm-hmm. Okay, Uchenna Nwosu out of USC. To me, he looks like he's a 4-3 will kind of guy. What do you think?
Yeah, he might be better off the ball just because he has no pass rush moves at all. I mean, he's just really raw in that way. You know, I think he's a good football. I think he's going to run a good 40. I don't think you're going to see anything special anywhere else. And he's just too light to play on the edge. He misses tackles. He's at his best when they just ask him to fire off, shoot gaps, and kind of get in. So he's got a quick first step. I just don't think he's very bendy. I don't think he's very physical. I don't think he's got a lot of flexibility in that torso. Weird player. He's unbelievable at getting his hands in passing lanes. And I think his vert is going to be really good, but I think his broad and his three cone and that kind of stuff aren't going to be as good. So he also could end up being one of those guys that's just like tests like an athlete. And then like, it just doesn't translate to the field. Like I don't see him bend through contact at all in the field. And so maybe it's a little bit deceptive, you know, sometimes what his numbers will show. I think he could be one of those type of guys that fool us a little bit at the combine.
All right, last guy, and I like what he does. I think he's a great player. I don't see him playing in the base defense for Kansas City. I think in that big nickel, I think he'd be great. But I don't know that Sam Hubbard's a guy that this team should be looking for. Am I wrong?
No, I think you're probably right. I mean, you look at him, but you know, he does his best work with his hand down. Not a great athlete. I think he's probably going to get the opportunity to play from a two-point stance for some teams, some hybrid fronts. I think he'll do probably some of both. But again, not a guy that you're going to ask to do a lot in terms of dropping. I think he's not a space player. But, man, he might be the best run defender. I mean, he's really good. After Chubb, you know, I mean, he's up there with in terms of assignment sound. He's the opposite of what you'd expect because he's a converted safety who played linebacker who has like 22 starts at defensive end, but he's ridiculously polished and technical and just not that athletic. So it's kind of the complete opposite of what I know your people are probably going to hear during the combine just because the announcers will go with the low-hanging fruit and say, oh, it's converted safety, you know. He was a five-star recruit as a safety. You know he's athletic, and then he's going to test like a very average athlete. So, and he's also big. He's listed like 260, 265, and he could probably shed some weight, but it's not really bad weight. So I'm not sure you'd want him to play outside linebacker unless you had him drop a bunch of weight, which he looks so good at that weight, you know, to be honest, that I don't know the teams are going to do that. So it'll be interesting to see what teams do with him. Maybe they think that if he shed some pounds, he's a little bit more flexible, but right now he's more of a power inside move pass rusher and has a hard time getting the edge consistently.
Okay.
Now I have to go back a little bit. I just have to ask a question. What did you think of Tano Passanio coming out last year?
Passanio was kind of
– I know I'm putting you on
the
spot.
No, you're good. He was – I was kind of lower on him than the consensus. He was one of my earliest fourth-round grades, I think. I thought that he had a good first step, and he was really violent football player. Like, he was really aggressive. And actually, I think that there's some similarities between him and Davenport in terms of their frames and what people, you know, the small school thing. And neither of them dominated competition at the small school level, but both had tools. But I think Passanio plays a lot harder, a lot more physical, a lot more frenetic of a pace, just kind of a relentless type of guy. And he false stepped less than Davenport did out of his stance too, which I like. Now, Davenport's got more upside, I think, as an athlete, because I thought Passanio was pretty tight and didn't really bend the edge that well and do a lot of things that you need to do well in terms of being a great pass rusher off the edge. But Passanio plays hard, and he is pretty relentless. And I think against bad tackles, he could really take advantage, where I thought Davenport kind of struggled with that at times. So I came around on Passanio a little bit. First time I watched him, I was like, yeah, he's undraftable. I don't know what people are seeing. Then I saw him in Mobile, and I was like, all right, I'll take a swing at him, because he does. He's just kind of a relentless dude with a great frame, and he really does have a pretty good takeoff off the ball. So I still think he could become a little bit of a player. I don't know if he'll ever be a full-time guy, but he's definitely got some ability.
Last question, and I know it's a little bit out there, but specifically for those day three picks in the 70 to 90 range, is there a 3-4 outside linebacker that I haven't brought up or I'm completely missing out on?
I think Jeff Holland's really interesting. 2-point stance, 3-point stance. I think he can do a little bit of both at the next level. He's definitely an interesting prospect because I don't think he's a great athlete, but he is really good, kind of hand usage, manipulates the edge and your little shimmy moves and kind of gets on the outside edge of the tackle and just kind of makes the most of what he's got. He's not a real rangy player. There were some issues in run defense, but man, I think he just gives you a little juice off the edge. I wasn't really expecting. He's not really that explosive. You know, I'm really curious to see how he tests. I thought his hand usage was pretty good, though, and he's a guy that he's like weird. Joe Marino and Cal Krabs and I were talking about him. Joe's like, he's like weird but good, right? And I was like, exactly right. Like, I just am not sure what he really does well, like at an elite level in terms of athleticism, but he's just got pretty nuanced footwork and vision as a pass rusher. He sets things up. He wins the edge. If somebody teaches him a counter move, I think he's got a pass rush repertoire that could put up some numbers even as a rookie. Now, I don't know how effective he'll be as an all-around player, and I don't think there's a great ceiling here, but he's better developed than you think for a guy that's a one-year starter. He definitely learned some things from Carl Lawson. So he's one guy. Josh Sweat's really intriguing from Florida State. He might be able to do both. He played as a three technique sometimes for Florida State in their hybrid front. So, I mean, he's way too lanky to be in that role, but he fights really hard. He's a physical guy. I don't know how bendy he's going to be, but his hands are decent. He's got a pretty decent plan at the top of the arc. So he's another guy that could impress. I don't think this draft's loaded with him, but I think that there's some guys that, you know, you take a swing at and you see if you can develop them. I think that's the key at those spots.
What do you think? What positions do you think that this draft is loaded at?
Let's see. Linebacker, running back. Quarterback, there's some decent depth. I'll give them that. I don't think it's this 5 first-round type class, but I don't really love the wide receiver. Cornerback seems good, although I haven't gotten a ton of their evaluations yet, but cornerback seems good. So corner, I would say corner, linebacker, and running back are probably the top three. Interior defensive line gets a lot of love right now, but I have been underwhelmed by a lot of the guys. I think there's some solid run defenders, but if you're looking for high-impact guys who are going to make a lot of plays beyond the line of scrimmage, I don't think it's a great class from what I've seen so far. I still have a good amount of evaluations to go, but good class for depth for sure. I don't know if it's a good class for high-end, high-impact guys at the NFL level.
Well, I'm sure we will look at those inside linebackers, off-ball guys next time you're back, and I promise you I will have watched some Holland film by then. So,
folks, yeah, do it. Check him out. He's weird but good.
Folks, make sure you're checking out everything at NDT Scouting. Listen to John on the Locked On Draft Podcast. And John, thanks for taking the time tonight.
Hey, no problem. Thank you guys for having me. I appreciate it.
And folks, we will be back with you. We'll have more. And just keep it here. Make sure you're paying attention. Get subscribed if you're not. And we will talk to you tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to the Locked On Chiefs podcast. While you're out there, give us a rating or review and reach out to us on Twitter @RyanTracyNFL and @ChrisClarkNFL. We'll talk to you next time.